All right, I want to hear some amens on that. All right, how's everybody doing this morning? Are we ready? I'm glad you're with us. I hope you know how much I love this place. It's exciting for me to come and see the smiling faces and see the joy that comes when we gather and we're here to worship God and to exalt God. And what's interesting about this message this morning, I'm starting a series on miracles, all right? You know, let me ask this. Anybody here need a miracle? Anybody here need a miracle? All right, I see some hands. Maybe, how about not you? Anybody have somebody you love or maybe a loved one or a family member that you want to see a miracle? And so we all want to see miracles. And so I kind of want to talk about it this morning. But, you know, as I wrestled with it, I called the message, "Don't Hold Your Breath." That's kind of a sarcastic statement. This week, I was working on the message, and Laura looked at me, and Laura goes, "Gary, you need a haircut." All right. And I go, "Don't hold your breath." Yeah, you know what that means. It's like, I don't think that's going to happen. All right? I just don't know about that. Now, so you know, yes, I need a haircut. Am I going to get a haircut? Don't hold your breath. All right? You got all week. I'll figure it out this week. I don't know. You know, I always do the two worst things in life for me. I did one of them this week. I'm not doing two in one week. I went to the dentist on Monday, so I can't get a haircut this week because I already had the bad thing. The second thing is getting a haircut. Those are the two worst things in my life. I don't know why. You know, maybe I'm a little whacked out from a childhood experience. I don't know. But I just can't understand it. But I'm sure some of you have used this phrase, "Don't hold your breath." You know, maybe you came home Sunday after church and the 49ers are on TV and you're down in your chair and the game is on. You know, it was the early game. And so the game is on, and you flop down in your chair trying to catch up on the game, and you hear out of the kitchen, "The garbage needs carrying out." And you want to say, "Don't hold your breath." But you're smarter than that, so you turn the TV up, and you act like you didn't hear her, right? You know? But what do we do? You know, we talk about miracles, but how many of us really believe that we can have a miracle in our life, that God in some way, that God in some form, that God may step into the midst of our life and do something miraculous? You know, that we really believe that? Because there's some people, yeah, the miracles happen, but it's a thing of the past, all right? It's something that God did many years ago. Well, when Jesus walked around, you know, the lame, the blind, the feeding the thousands, and, you know, they were the things of the past. Or maybe it's not just a thing. It's like, yeah, God does miracles, but he just doesn't do them for me. Anybody ever feel that way? That, you know, God, it just doesn't seem like, you know, so-and-so had a blessing and so-and-so got a miracle. And it's like, God, have you forgot me? You know, and I think we all wrestle with this. And I kind of want to talk about miracles for the next few weeks. And so what we're going to do, like next week, I'm going to talk about the miracle of healing. All right, why does God heal and why doesn't he heal sometimes? How does that work out? And just so you know, we're going to come and share a testimony. Some of you haven't been here very long, and Ron shared a testimony many, many years ago. And he's going to come and share his testimony again about God's healing and God's ministry in his life. So next week I'm going to share, and Ron's going to get an opportunity to share his story. And we're going to talk, why does God heal sometimes, and then sometimes he doesn't? And we're going to kind of wrestle with that. And then we're going to kind of look at what God does in the midst of our trials and struggles, how he protects us. You know, and that God steps in. And then the last one, we're going to look at God's provision. But this morning, I want to kind of talk about, maybe it's one of the weird ones, you might, you know, because what I want to talk about this morning is there's another world that we don't see. There's a demonic world. All of us recognize that we live in a world that's not always kind. Everybody agree with me? That, you know, that there's evil in our world. You know, there's things in our world that, you know, why can't we all get along? Well, we can't get along because there's evil in our world. Yeah. But there's also an unseen world. There's a world that we don't see. And it's a world in which the angels and the demons live. Now, I believe that. Now, I know there's probably some of you here, you're not quite so sure that there's a demonic world. But I believe there's angels. And if I believe there's angels, I also believe there's demons. And if you want to do some research, you want to do some reading, I'll just give you, you know, go over and turn to Isaiah chapter 4 and do some homework there, and you can read. Or you can go to Revelation chapter 12, the last book in the Bible, and you can read about how Lucifer, the devil, Satan, decided he wanted to be God. And decided, God, I'm as big as you. I can do as much as you. God, I deserve to be God myself. And God cast him out of heaven. And as he was cast out of heaven, it says he took a third of the angels with him. And those angels become demons. And so I'm one who believes there's an unseen world in which there's a battle going on between good and God and his angels and the devil and the demons. I believe that. I believe there's a world out there that we can't see. And I want to say that God steps into the midst of that world and does miracles. See, I believe there's going to come a time in my life, and I don't think right now I see everything God has done. I believe that when I get to heaven, I'm going to see times in my life that God saved me, that God did something, that there was a miracle I didn't even know about. That this unseen world, there was battles going on, and there was things going on. The devil and his demons were planning and contriving and working schemes, and in the midst of that, God's angels stood in place and protected me and delivered me. I see this unseen world. So I want to talk about miracles. And so I wanted to give you a definition so that you know what we're going to be talking about. A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes on earth. All right? A miracle is when God in heaven intervenes. God steps out of heaven and steps into our world in some miraculous, some unique, some special way and does something. And I want us to think about that. And this morning, I want us to think in the terms of evil. The terms that there's a devil and there's these demons and they're after us. Does that sound scary? I want to talk about that this morning. And I don't want to deal with the scary because I want you to look at what it says here. Ephesians 6:12. We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. See, I want to tell you something. When you're aggravated with your wife or your spouse or your husband, the battle's not them. The battle's the devil. Anybody agree with me? You know? Your boss at work, a neighbor, a friend that turns on you, yeah. They're not the battle. They're not the target. It's the devil. He's using, he's twisting, he's making things happen. And I think we need to kind of back up. And you know what I say all the time, and you hear me say this, and I keep saying it all the time. You need to look, when you have relationships, you need to look at three things. What's the battle going on in that person's life? What's the burden in that person's life? And what's the background in that person's life? And you guys, there's a devil out there that's twisting things and tweaking things and setting things up. I believe the devil has schemes. Anybody else? That the devil does things. And so I want us to think about that this morning. And as I do, I want to make sure I have some foundation here. So I put two little big mistakes here. First of all, we overemphasize demonic influences. We blame the devil for everything. All right? Have you met somebody that the devil's around every corner? Now, how many here remember a guy named Flip Wilson? Anybody remember a guy named Flip? I'm going to get some ages here now. Some of you guys have no idea who I'm talking about. What did Flip Wilson always say? The devil made me do it, all right? We see the devil everywhere. Everywhere we turn, there's the devil. You know, there's Satan. You know, San Francisco, Reno, Las Vegas, New York, Hollywood. The devil's everywhere, right? Come on. You know, we want to blame everything. You know, I'm out of money. I spent all my money. The devil made me do it. No, you just weren't a good steward today. I ate a whole bag of Jelly Belly Flops. Laura and I went over there the other day, and I got three bags of Jelly Belly Flops. All right, we gave one away. I was good, you know. But I ate a whole two-pound bag of Jelly Bellies this week. And they were good. But you know what? The devil made me do it. All right, they sat on my desk all week long. That was the second bag. Yeah, I already finished the first one. Yeah. Don't we like to blame the devil? Come on, we overemphasize the devil. We can do that, all right? But then there's on the other side, sometimes we underemphasize the devil. We act like he's not there. We act like he's not scheming. We act like he's not setting situations up. See, I believe the devil sets situations up. I believe the devil organizes things. See, I believe there's this unseen world in which he is working and scheming and planning to trip us up. And here's what I think all the time. I don't know about you, but I don't want to overemphasize it. But I often think sometimes that, I go to bed, but the devil doesn't. And he's working all night trying to get a scheme for me the next day. And so sometimes we don't understand that. Yeah, he's real and he's there. And so I want us to think about that this morning. How do we live in this world where the devil is against God? See, there's some challenges in our life as we look at the devil, because sometimes the devil has created this thing that he doesn't exist. Am I right? He does, the world, there's really no devil, there's no God, the devil does, or we create this image, got a little bitty red guy with a little bitty red tail, got a little bitty red pitchfork, got little short ears. We create this cartoon character as the devil, oh, don't worry about him, look at him, it's just, but we need to understand the devil's real. And his demons are real. But we don't want to overemphasize. We don't want to underemphasize it. But what does the devil do? I got three things real quick I want to lay out for you that I see the devil doing, okay? That I've recognized in my life. All right? So if you have your little outline out, you can follow along. It says, demons tempt you to sin. I don't know about you, but demons tempt me to sin. Anybody else in that board? I'm on the computer. And... some of the sidebars. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That looks interesting. Who do you think organizes those sidebars? They just happen? I believe the devil does. All right? You're changing channels on your TV, and you're... what was that one? Stop. Back up one. Guys are quiet. See, I think the devil is here. He's going to tempt us. He's there to deceive and to lay out the scheme and to make the plan. And here's what it says in Timothy. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, they will come to their senses. He's talking about us, okay? We will come to our senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. The devil is creating a trap, so we need to be aware so we escape. The devil kind of steps in, and the demons and, a little conversation. Come on, you've never had a conversation like that. It's not that bad. Nobody's going to find out. Nobody knows. It's my business. It's nobody's business but mine. The devil's, it's not their business. It's yours. It's your life. Live it any way you want. Don't worry about what anybody's going to say. They'll never know. This is what I love about the devil. I mean, I should have kind of this about the devil. No, but I recognize this about the devil. Recognize this. The devil will say, it's no big deal. Nobody's going to know. Don't worry about it. He just minimizes it. You'll just slide on through. But then you fall into the trap. And then the demons come in and say, man, you ruined your life. God's never going to love you again. God's never going to use you again. You're through. You may just turn and walk away. Does the devil, you guys ever feel that with the devil? He just kind of wants to pry in, and then once he does, man, he just opens that trap door. You fall in, and then it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, man, look, you're a mess now. You're a loser. And so we need to see that the devil sets these traps, and he wants us to fall, and he wants us to trip. He's there to deceive us. All right, so the devil creates traps. How about the demons also distress? They distract you from God's will. What are some distractions? As I was working on the message, I was kind of thinking, what are some distractions I think the devil throws in our way? Can the TV be a distraction? Can the devil use the TV? Oh, I bet nobody here has a cell phone. Does anybody here have a cell phone? Can the devil use the cell phone? A job? Money? family. You know, he can distract us. We know what we should do. Have you ever known what you should do and then didn't do it? You know? Because the devil just kind of distracts us. He kind of pulls us away. He kind of leads us in the other sense that we shouldn't go, and he doesn't. Just kind of make fun of it. See? And then the devil kind of plays the game like, well, it doesn't matter what you believe. You know, as long as you believe something, right? It really doesn't matter, you know. You can just kind of pull it all together, you know. Let's take a little bit of Buddha over here, and we'll take a little bit of Jesus over here, and Mahatma Gandhi over here, maybe some New Age over here. We'll just kind of stir it all up there, and this is what I believe, you know. And everything's relative, and there's no absolute truth. And does the devil do that kind of stuff? Look at what it says here. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. I listen to a lot of preachers. You know, I enjoy preaching. I don't listen to much radio music. I listen to a lot of preachers. I'm always listening through a filter of what does the Word of God say. You know, what is God saying? What does God have in His Scriptures? That's kind of a filter that I filter all of this stuff that's coming at me. See, the devil wants to distract us. Religion doesn't matter. It doesn't matter which one. Don't worry about all this other. So the devil wants to set traps for you. He wants to distract you. And the third one I put down is here, the devil wants to inflict pain. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to hurt you. All right? I'll make it as clear as I can. The devil wants to cause you pain. He wants to wound you. He wants to hurt you. There's a great encounter Jesus has with the Father. Now, some of us have children, and your heart breaks for your children. Anybody break for your children as they're growing? I got to talk to my son. He's in Iraq right now and had a chance. He spent about 30 minutes with me on the phone the other day. I got a new app, WhatsApp or something like this. I don't know what I got, but I had to download something like my son. And we were talking, and, you know, your heart breaks for your children. Here this father has a child who's battling some inside demons, some things going on in his life, and he has these battles, and this father's heart's broken for his son, like, just like a parent would be for their child. And so this father goes to Jesus, and there's this encounter. Listen to this encounter. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire and water. I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him. You unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. Jesus rebuked the demons, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. See, this father is broken. The devil wants to hurt us. One of my verses, I didn't put this verse in here, but you write this verse down, John 10:10. That's a verse you need to memorize that verse. In fact, I'm going to give you homework this week. It's a good one for the miracles to talk about. John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, came that you might have life and have it abundantly. See, the devil wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. Anybody had that experience? The devil wants to steal your joy, kill your peace, and destroy your life. He wants to hurt you. He wants to inflict pain, you know, depression and, you know, he doesn't cause it, but he creates the situations that cause it. And suicidal thoughts that we have. I wrote a bunch of stuff down here. How about destroying marriages? Does the devil want to destroy your marriage? Yes. I don't care whose marriage it is. The devil wants to destroy it. You know, I wrote how he wants to ruin your testimony. He wants to wreck your finances. Is that true? See, the devil, he's out to destroy your life. How about your health? Should I have ate a 2-pound bag of jelly beans health-wise this week? You know, it's not healthy. But they're sitting there and they're so good. And anybody get tempted like that? Distracted like that? And then you end up in pain? You know? Then it hurts and you're wounded. And then Satan's piling on. You're no good. You can't even handle this. you're just a loser. Might as well just give it up, call it in, fold up, quit. See, that's the devil. He works in these ways in our lives, and he tries to destroy our lives. So remember these things. The demon world is out there. There's evil. He's scheming. He's creating traps for you. He wants to tempt you. All right? He wants to tempt you. He's going to distract you. He's going to try to get your attention. Isn't that shiny thing over there? I'm going to go over there with that big shiny thing. He's going to distract you. Then he's going to cause you pain. He's going to hurt. And it's going to wound. But I want to tell you, there's a God who does miracles. There's a God who steps into the middle of your life. And the devil's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And he says, I've given you abundant life. Isn't that nice? Know that there's a God of love and a God of peace, that when we're hurting and when we're wounded, when we're laying flat on our face because we just fell apart, God sits there and says, I love you. I got you. And I can heal. And why did Jesus come? Think about that. Why did Jesus come? He said he came not for the healthy, but for the, anybody know the scripture? He came for the sick. Said he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. He didn't come for the righteous, but he came for the sinner. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Jesus steps into the midst of our lives, and he does things in the midst of our lives. See, we're just trying to get through life. Anybody just trying to get through? You get up, you shave, you clean up. At least I do. You clean up. You sure? You're just trying to go to work. You're trying to pay your bills. You're trying to go shopping. You're trying to raise your kids. You're just trying to live life. And the devil is there. He's real. So what are we going to do? How do we deal with this? How do we fight this? I like this passage. Here's what it says in Matthew 10:1. Jesus is getting ready to send his disciples on mission. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. Why don't you circle that word authority? That's going to be a key word. To drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. He's saying God is going to be a God of miracles, and you have the authority. All right? You have the authority. I want us to think about that. Now, I don't have the... Who has the power? Jesus. But I have the authority in Jesus' name. See, I have that authority in Jesus. Look at what it says. Go back up to that blank up above that. We have miraculous authority over darkness in the name of Jesus. Now, you guys all know I wanted to be a cop at one time, right? That was one of my dreams before God called me and laid his hand upon me and said, Gary, smack, you're going to be a preacher. And so I want to be, now let's say, I'm a cop and I go out here on Highway 99 and I go out in the middle of Highway 99 because I'm a cop. I'm a cop. And I want that 18-wheeler to stop, right? So I go out and stand in the middle of Highway 99 down and I go, stop! I'm a policeman, right? Stop! Do I have the power to stop that truck? I'm going to be a wet spot in the road, right, Daniel? I'll just be a blob. There ain't much left. But I have a badge. I'm a policeman. I got a badge. And that badge gives me authority. And now I get in the car and I chase that crazy semi-truck driver down. I'm giving Daniel a bad time over here. And I have the authority to pull that truck over, don't I? I don't have the power, but I got the authority. I want to tell you, that's how it is in our lives. We don't have the power to defeat the demons. I'm going to tell you, if you think, I can handle this, I can fight this battle, I'm going to win this on my own, it ain't going to happen. You ain't got enough power. But you got the badge of Jesus Christ. You got the stamp of God on you. You've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You have the authority to bind those demons. Now, somebody should say amen to that. Am I right? Come on now. You've been quiet so far, but you need to understand. You have the power. You have the authority to say, no, I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. No, that trap's not going to get me. No, I'm not going to be distracted. In Jesus Christ, I'm going. I'm in this for here. See, we need to see that in our lives, that we have the authority. We need to understand that it's us. That I don't have to fall. That I don't have to surrender. That I have victory through Christ Jesus. And I need to experience that. See, we have that authority. It's mine. And I don't have that power. But I'm going to tell you what. All things are possible with God. Is that true? What made it so nice? God, I love God in his scriptures. He says this, all things are possible. And just in case you don't understand, he goes on the other side and says, nothing's impossible. Take your pick. To make it clear. See, he has that power. He has that ability. He's an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipowerful God. Think about that. And he says, you got my authority to take care of this. Man. Who's going to stand in our way? Who can defeat us? And so I want us to think about that for a minute. And so what are we going to do? I've got three things real quick. Three things. Two kind of ideas. And the third is the action, okay? So the first idea is this. Don't assume that every problem is a result of demonic influences. Sometimes you did something stupid. All right? Sometimes I have been stupid. All right? Now, I want to make sure you understand. I am not stupid, but sometimes I do stupid stunts. Anybody in that boat? You know, you don't have to be stupid to do something stupid. All right? Sometimes I create my own problems. I tell people this all the time. Nobody, now, some of you, again, some of the older ones are going to get this. Some of you younger ones are going to go, I don't get this. You know, nobody needs to push Gary out of the frying pan into the fire. Gary jumps often too willingly. Anybody know that? Anybody remember that? Out of the frying pan into the fire? Tells you, I'm getting old. You know? I create, a lot of times, whose problem? Who created the problem? Gary. Yeah. Whose fault is it? Gary. You know? So I can't blame everything on the devil. But I want to make sure you understand, he is active. He is real. He is trying to distract you. He is trying to tempt you. He is trying to hurt you. That is his objective. He's kind of made a play on this because, you know, the devil will tell you this too. I meant to tell you this earlier. The devil will go along this line and say, I'm not against God. I know God. He's not bad. I just got some other ideas too. You know, he'll tell you, it's okay. God's okay with this. You know, I'm not fighting against God. Is he fighting against God? Yes. Just in case you didn't put in an answer for that one. So not every problem is a God. And then don't assume that any problem isn't a result of demonic influences. All right? I'm going to tell you, every problem, every battle is a battle with the unseen world. It's a battle with the demonic world. That broken relationship is really a battle in the demonic world. You need, is that okay to say that? You know, that hurt, that wound in your life, that stake in your heart that just kills you, that it just burdens you and you wrestle with, that temptation there. I'm going to tell you, when you look at your computer screen, think about the devil because he's looking back at you. All right? Same thing on your phone. He's anywhere and he's there. But we don't tremble in the presence of the devil because whose authority are we in? We got God. Now, I'm not going to take the devil on. You need to know that. It's not like, okay, devil, you and I are going at it. But God, the devil, I'm sicking Jesus on you. I'm going to let Jesus take you. He already did you once. You thought you had him in the tomb? Hey, guess what? He came walking out, brother. You thought you had him. Your chains didn't hold. He even went down there and told you, you lost. He went to your home, knocked on your door, and said, you're a loser. But we still have the faith. And the thing is, you know, here's the thing to think about. He wants to take us down with him. And the battle's already over. The battle's already been won. And he doesn't even care. It's just another one in his march that he can have. So here's what I want you to do. It's real simple. I put it this way. Pray for the supernatural working of God. Pray the supernatural intervention. Pray. In Jesus' name. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Can we do that? You got the authority. God, he gave you his name. Jesus said, use my name. Take my name. Use it. It's the trump card. It's the card that does everything. Use it. We need to see that prayer. So we need to prepare for battle. And Paul wrote a letter to that church in Ephesus, and some of you are familiar with this passage. It's a rather long passage, but it really paints a picture of that battle, that we are facing a battle, that there is an unseen world. If you're thinking you're going to cruise through life, I'm going to tell you what. How many of us say life has hurt? Anybody had life hurt them? Any wound from life? Anybody got some guilt or regrets? Has life abused you? Life's a battleground. Anybody agree with that? It's not a playground. It's a battleground. And we're in this battle. But we have the name of Jesus. Listen to what it says. Look how Paul describes us preparing for the battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the mighty in his power. Not your power. You notice that? Whose power is it? His power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Remember, he's going to tempt you. He's going to distract you. He's going to inflict pain on you. For your struggle is not against blood, but against rulers and against authorities, against powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from full of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray. Circle that word and pray. Or two words. Or circle the word pray. In the Spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. We need to pray. When we're facing temptation, when we're facing those battles, when we're facing those struggles, when we're facing those hurts, we're facing those wounds, we need to pray. But I like this passage because it says two things. You prepare and you pray. But let me give you a picture of how to put on the armor of God. It's real simple. You pray on the armor of God. God, put around my waist the belt of truth. Help me live with integrity and righteousness. Uprightness. God, put the breastplate of righteousness on me. Protect my heart. God, put the helmet of salvation. God, guard my mind. You pray this prayer and you armor yourself and you prepare for battle and you get ready. Because I guarantee you, you walk out this door, Satan is waiting on you. You need to know, I pray. I pray. I walk around the wall here. I'm kind of crazy. Just to say how crazy I am. I walk around this place and I make sure I do not leave a crack in my path. So it's fun. I'll walk out the door, and I'll walk down past the light there, and I'll walk around the building four times this way. And then I walk past the light, turn around, and walk three times this way around the building. Because I want to make sure, and I pray God to clear this building, that Satan can't get in this building. And so it's like, you know, putting salt around the place. So, you know, anybody ever put flour on your counter, baking soda to keep the ants from getting on your counter? Anybody ever do anything like that? Or am I... You know, you put something out there like that. You know, I do that for the church because I don't want the devil in here. So here's my thing to you. You're in here, and I, if the devil's here, thank you. I didn't want to say it. All right? Because I prayed he wouldn't be here. And I make sure I cross that path that there's no crack for him to get into this place. So when you walk here, I'm going to give you a guarantee. I guarantee you one way, some form, some shape this week, you will face the devil. It may be a tempting. It may be a distraction. It may be a hurt or a wound. But I guarantee you, he's waiting for you to walk out that door. And so we got to armor up. And there's a miracle. And I really believe this. I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to see times in my life I didn't even know God did. God was doing something I didn't even know. Anybody believe that? And so we got to prepare for battle. But it's not just pray. I want to make sure you got to prepare. You got to pray. Because I want to tell you, you know, if you're struggling, you know, depression and you're battling anxiety and stress and you're doing all that, I'm going to tell you what. Go see a counselor and then pray. All right? You know, if you got some health issues, you know, and you're some health issues and things aren't quite right in your body, go see a doctor and pray. Don't just, well, God, I'm going to let you heal me. Now, I know God heals, and we're going to hear a great testimony next week. But sometimes God uses doctors to heal. Anybody been healed by a doctor? Somebody, oh, some of you guys, man, I've been healed by a doctor. You know, we got to prepare. You know, if you're battling alcohol or some kind of an addiction, go to Celebrate Recovery and pray. I think too many, we just want to pray and let God, okay, God, you just do the miracle. God's saying, I give you a part of the tools to do it. So I want to encourage you this morning. You know, we're in this battle. There's this evil world. Not only in our world, but there's an unseen world. You think our world is bad? I'd hate to see the unseen world. I often think of the story, for me it's a funny story. It's his name just absolute, Balaam. And his donkey. Anybody know the story of Balaam and his donkey? Balaam had a donkey, and Balaam was a prophet, and king wanted Balaam to come and prophesy against God's people. And Balaam said no, and Balaam said no, and the guy kept coming and begging Balaam and offering Balaam all sorts of stuff, and Balaam finally said, okay, I give up, I'll go. That's how the devil works, doesn't he? Does the devil just keep beating on you? You know? And so he just finally throws it, okay, I'll go. He gets on his donkey, and he's on his way there. And as he's going there, and he gets through this little canyon, real narrow canyon, and his donkey stops in the middle of this canyon. And it's like, come on, you know. He starts beating on his donkey. It ain't going anywhere. Now, I don't believe in abusing an animal, but he's abusing this animal. And finally, the donkey turns and talks. I mean, that would scare me right there, all right? You know? And if donkey turns and talks, open your eyes. There's a spiritual world here, and there's a demon with a sword center. If he would have went on through, guess what Balaam's head would have been? In a basket. Not on his head. See, there's this unseen world out there we don't see. And I believe there's this out there, this stuff's going on, and we think our world's bad. I'm going to tell you, there's an unseen world that I think is worse than ours. But God has the authority. And so I wrote it this way at the end of your page, and I want you to do this. If you are in Christ, you have the authority over darkness in the name of Jesus. You're in Christ. You've crossed that invisible line. You hear me say this week in and week out. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. And you surrendered your life to God. You're in Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells within you. And you have the authority, not the power, but the authority to use the name of Jesus Christ. He signed it over to you. He's given you permission that we have the authority and to fight. And our battle is not with flesh and blood. Our enemy is not our neighbor. It's not our spouse. It's not my marriage. It's not my family. It's not my boss. It's not my work. It's not my battle is the devil and his demons. And now I have the power that God has with his authority. that God will use it for me. And see, we're not fighting for a victory. The victory's already won in Jesus Christ. And so we can use his authority. So I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you this morning. Use the name of Jesus. Say it out loud. How many here remember the movie? It just totally, I didn't write it in my notes. It just left my brain. The prayer movie we just went and seen. War Room, thank you. And I had it, you know. Remember what she did at the end of the movie? She walked out of her house in the name of Jesus and threw the devil out of her house. I want you to do that. Say it out loud. Jesus. Why don't you guys say Jesus with me, would you? You ready? One, two, three. Jesus. All right. I think we can do better than that. Can't we do better than that? One, two, three. Jesus. All right. See, we got his authority. Will you walk out of here? Walk out here in the authority of Jesus. Your marriage, your finances, your family, your work, the authority of Jesus is yours. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the authority. Lord, we can't fight this on our own. We're weak. We're fragile. We're hurt. We're wounded. There's pain in our life, Lord, and we can't fight this on our own. So thank you for giving us authority. Yes, your name. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe this morning you need the authority of Jesus and you want me to pray for you. Would you shoot your hand up and let me pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. I see that. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen the hands of these that acknowledge the authority of Jesus in their life. Lord, you know each heart, each life. You know each situation, circumstance. You know how the devil has twisted and tweaked. You know how the devil has schemed and planned and has touched them in some way. Maybe it's their family. Maybe it's something else in their life, Lord. But you know the need. You know the hurt. So in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, I ask you to bind the demons. Just as you told Peter to get behind you, Satan, I tell Satan to get behind them. Not in my power, but Lord, in the authority of Jesus Christ, Lord, you send Satan to the back. You bind him and set us free. Lord, I just pray that your spirit will refresh their hearts, that they will see the power of Jesus, that they will feel the blessing from above. Lord, that they will see a miracle of deliverance because you have stepped in. The supernatural has intervened in our earthly life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.